Tom Poberesny adds chairman stripes at EAA. A faulty altimeter may have helped bring down an airliner. And the FAA shuffles some key personnel. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 5th, 2009. The Experimental Aircraft Association has just announced the appointment of Tom Poberesny as chairman of the board. 87-year-old EAA founder Paul Poberesny officially stepped down as chairman earlier this month. Tom will continue his current duties as president while also launching a leadership succession initiative to search for a new president. The new EAA president's job description will include overseeing day-to-day operations, freeing the chairman to provide ongoing counsel, but focus specifically on building EAA's endowment fund to sustain future growth. Tom Poberesny commented, quote, "I'm very proud of EAA's accomplishments over the past half century. I look forward to dedicating my experience and energies toward ensuring EAA's ongoing success," unquote. Dutch investigators now say they believe an erroneous altimeter played a role in last week's crash of a Turkish Airlines 737 approaching Amsterdam's Schiphol Airport. BBC cites Dutch Safety Board Chairman Peter van Vollenhoven in reporting the aircraft's autopilot was flying the approach. He says the plane's altimeter showed the aircraft at ground level when it actually was at about 1,950 feet AGL. The autopilot, responding to the altimeter, throttled back the plane's engines. He adds the crew did not react in time. Quote, "As a consequence, the plane crashed 1 kilometer before the runway," unquote. The Associated Press adds investigators also found the flight crew had noticed an error with the altimeter but did not consider it a problem. FAA Acting Administrator Lynn Osmus has announced several key personnel changes in the agency's Aviation Safety Organization. Peggy Gilligan has been named the new Associate Administrator for Aviation Safety. She's been Deputy Assistant Administrator for Aviation Safety since July of 1995 and earlier served as Chief of Staff for 4 FAA administrators. John Hickey, Director of FAA's Aircraft Certification Service since 2000, will replace Gilligan as Deputy Assistant Administrator for Aviation Safety. There were also several other changes. You can find the complete list at aero-news.net. The Aviation Safety Organization employs 6,800 people and has an annual budget of $1 billion. The AOPA Air Safety Foundation Tuesday honored 6 air traffic controllers for their roles in helping general aviation pilots in trouble land safely. The commendations were presented during the Archie League Awards banquet at the National Air Traffic Controllers Association's Communicating for Safety Conference. Foundation President Bruce Landsberg commented, quote, "Pilots and controllers' common goal is the safe conclusion of every flight. And when a pilot needs assistance, especially if he or she is the only person on board, the controller's calm voice at the other end of the radio can be exactly what's needed to get safely down to the ground," unquote. For the Eastern region, Mark Duncan was honored for helping the non-instrument rated pilot of a Cessna 150 who found himself above the clouds, low on fuel, and having radio problems. Great Lakes region controller Dean Passato was honored for providing outstanding assistance to a Columbia 400 pilot who suffered an engine failure over mountainous terrain at night. There were similar stories involved in the 4 other regions. You can find their stories at aero-news.net. Landsberg has advice for all of us. Quote, "Pilots should never be concerned about asking for a controller assist. The controllers are there to help, and oftentimes their help is the difference between a safe landing and an accident," unquote. Up next on ANN, a judge delays an airline's name change. Delta appears ready to cancel a Dreamliner order. And the U.S. is being cagey about missile defense in Europe. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, You'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ-2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from March 5th. I'm Paul Plagg. The attempt by Mesa Air Group to use the name of a former competitor has hit a snag. KITV News in Hawaii reports a federal bankruptcy judge on Tuesday agreed that the licensing of the Aloha Airlines name and other intellectual property to the company which drove it out of business had not been fair to competing bidders. The Yukaipa Companies LLC became the largest shareholder in Aloha Airlines in 2005 as part of an attempt to buy the company out. Mesa's GO subsidiary entered what had been a competitively sleepy Hawaiian inter-island market in 2006, with fares low enough to cause its competitor Aloha to fold. Yukaipa retained the rights to the name and was prepared to license its use to GO in a deal which would have extended some additional benefits to former Aloha employees displaced in the bankruptcy. But Randy Kawahani of the International Association of Machinists told Judge Lloyd King the union was excluded from bidding. King also noted that Yukaipa and the trustee denied Honolulu Advertiser reporter Rick Desog access to observe the proceedings. He called that exclusion outrageous. The court has ruled there is no evidence of bid rigging or collusion, but Judge King has also found the so-called public sale was not a public sale and will force a do-over. The exact timetable is not clear. Way back in 2005, Northwest Airlines placed an order for 18 of Boeing's new 787 Dreamliners. In the years since, Boeing has announced multiple delays in development totaling more than 2 years. Northwest has been acquired by Delta, and airlines are adapting to plunging traffic by cutting capacity. So what does that mean for the old order? Well, Delta has publicly said talks are still underway, but it looks as if a cancellation announcement is coming. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports that in a filing this week with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Delta says, quote, "We have excluded our order for 18 B-787-8 aircraft. The Boeing company has informed us that Boeing will be unable to meet the contractual delivery schedule for these aircraft. We are in discussions with Boeing regarding this situation," unquote. The news wasn't all bad for Boeing. The filing also reveals Delta has added orders for 8 777-200 long-range aircraft, with options for 10 more. While the news on the 787 would be tough for Boeing, which so far has more cancellations than orders this year, neither side is yet officially confirming the change. Delta has reserved comment, and Boeing told the PI Tuesday, quote, "The orders are still on the books," unquote. U.S. President Barack Obama and Defense Secretary Robert Gates have moved to reassure European allies of their commitment to defending Europe from Iranian missile attacks after media reports of a letter in which Obama appeared prepared to offer the defense system up as a bargaining chip to the Russians. Gates told reporters on Tuesday, when asked about the letter from Obama to Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, quote, "I told the Russians a year ago that if there were no Iranian missile threat, that there would be no need for the third site in Europe," unquote. But he added that the Polish and Czech Republic defense ministries want NATO to push forward quickly and strongly with the program. Obama Tuesday said the dialogue with Russia does not diminish his commitment, quote, "to making sure that Poland, the Czech Republic, and other NATO members are fully enjoying the partnership, the alliance, and U.S. support with respect to their security," unquote. Still ahead, an asteroid that almost struck Earth may be back one day. NASA hopes for success but plans for setbacks. And a guy in Texas takes airliner anxiety to a whole new level. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 5th, 2009. I'm Paul Plagg. If the economy isn't providing you with enough to worry about, astronomers are here to help. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory tells the Associated Press an asteroid roughly the size of a 10-story building sped by about 49,000 miles above the Pacific Ocean early Monday. Unlike other near misses which have been predicted in recent years, astronomers didn't even see this one coming until sometime Friday. To put it in perspective, 49,000 miles is just short of twice the height some telecommunications satellites orbit above Earth, and five times closer than our own moon. Back in 1908, an asteroid of similar size is thought to have exploded at an estimated 3 to 6 miles AGL over Tunguska, Siberia. That blast is believed to have been about 1,000 times more powerful than the atomic bomb over Hiroshima. It destroyed over 800 square miles of forest and filled the Earth's atmosphere with dust for months. Scientists aren't sure when we might see Monday's rock come by again, but it orbits the sun about once every 1.5 Earth years. If you're kicking yourself for buying a business aircraft too early to take advantage of the bonus depreciation provision of the federal stimulus plan, take heart. Officials in Cessna's customer service organization say enhancements made to existing business aircraft in 2009 may qualify as well. While pointing out this is not tax advice, Cessna Senior VP Mark Pellucci says it might be a good time to add that glass cockpit or upgrade nav systems. Quote, "As long as the upgrade adds value to the aircraft or increases the life of the aircraft, it may qualify for favorable bonus depreciation tax treatment in 2009, unquote. If you're drawing a blank on your first run at a wish list, Pellucci suggests communications and avionics, TCAS and radar upgrades, RVSM, WAS and FMS updates, interior upgrades, or even new paint. Of course, you'll have to move by December 31st, and the idea is not limited to Cessna owners. NASA still hopes to launch the Shuttle Discovery next week on mission STS-119 to the International Space Station, but the agency is also preparing contingencies. On Tuesday, the International Space Station program announced a change in how two future crew members will return home. Atlantis mission STS-129, currently scheduled to launch in November, was supposed to be the ride home for Canadian astronaut Robert Thirsk, but any cascading delays affecting that mission could leave him in space longer than NASA's preferred six-month maximum, so he'll swap rides home with NASA astronaut Nicole Stott, taking over her seat on a Russian Soyuz capsule. NASA may hold the mission's next flight readiness assessment meeting tomorrow. And finally, my least favorite part of the airline experience, even more so than the TSA process, is that few minutes after you reach the gate on arrival. The lights come on, everyone who can stands up, the air gets real stuffy, and you silently assess your competition in the sardine race to the exit. Well, the Dallas Morning News reports one man arriving Tuesday at DFW on an American Airlines flight from Charlotte apparently hates that part of the ride a lot more than I do. Airline spokesman Tim Smith tells the paper the man ran up to first class as the plane was taxiing to the gate, opened an exit door, slid down the emergency chute to the tarmac, and made a run for it. The unidentified man was not injured, but when he reached the terminal, he was hauled off by airport police for questioning and a likely psychological evaluation. The airline notes that despite the drama, Flight 1343 arrived at its gate on time. Do you still believe there's no sandbagging on published flight times? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in part three of his conversation with ANN's Jim Campbell, Eclipse Aviation founder and former CEO Vern Rayburn describes what he calls the extortion of $8 million from Eclipse by a vendor. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.